Philippians chapter 1. The song tells a story of a man who was there that day, but it's a story that includes us all. Aren't you thankful for the Lamb of God who shed his blood to give his life for the sins of the world? Today I want to share a message that has been heavy on my heart. It's God's message from the Bible, but one that God has been dealing with my heart about. And it applies tremendously to that Lamb who shed his blood on the cross. I want to preach a message entitled Advancing with the Gospel from here in Philippians chapter 1. I don't believe that this is true only for us. I have heard so many stories from other pastors that I know and just have seen it in blogs and articles and different places. But each person in each church, each group feels it a little differently. But we have faced and endured a challenging season of life and ministry. We're still in the middle of a challenging season of life and ministry. And in our lives, both individually and corporately as a church, it is easy to waver in challenging seasons of ministry and life. The epistle that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi was essentially Paul's missionary newsletter to update them on his ministry and their partnership with him in the gospel. The portion of his newsletter that we are looking at today is found in Philippians 1, 12 through 18. Would you follow along as I read that text? Paul says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." In this text, Paul shared with the church he was advancing with the gospel in spite of a challenging season. Did you catch that phrase in verse number 12? Where the Bible said, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me." Now, it seems like a very low-key statement, doesn't it? The things which happened unto me. But if Paul had taken the time to explain right here all the things, he could have filled a book. The things are cataloged in Acts 21, 17 through 28, 31. As you read through those chapters, you find that Paul endured an illegal arrest while he was worshiping God at the temple in Jerusalem. From that illegal arrest, He faced numerous interrogations, trials, and imprisonment in the region of Caesarea over the span of 2 years. It covers a few chapters, and we think it's kind of just a quick thing. But for 2 years, he went from ruler to ruler, from place to place, being interrogated, put on trial, and spending his time in prison. From there, he journeyed to Rome after he appealed to Caesar, but his journey to Rome included a shipwreck and a 3-month stay on the barbaric island of Malta. I mean, if we really want to try to understand what Paul was enduring during this season of ministry, let's just say it this way. This season of ministry and life for Paul was his 2020. Paul had been through so many difficulties during that season of life and ministry. Yet, in spite of these things, Paul said, what we would have thought humanly impossible had happened. He said the things, all of those things that I just described briefly, these things have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Though Paul was apprehended, the gospel was advancing. In the unknown that is 2020, I want to advance with the gospel. Just as the things that Paul faced did not cause the gospel to be bound, I believe that nothing we face causes the gospel to be bound. Today, I want to challenge you to identify and implement ways to advance with the gospel in spite of your circumstances, challenges, and critics. As we pray, I want us to ask God to use His Word to lead us to obey Him today. And so would you join me as I lead you in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we come now to this time of looking to the Scriptures to be challenged and helped, I pray that You would use Your Word to lead us to obey You. In a challenging, difficult season of life and ministry, I believe You are not desirous that we would remain still, waited out, but that You would desire us to advance with Your gospel. And so today I pray, O Lord, that You would work in our hearts, that Your Holy Spirit would do a work challenging and encouraging us to do just that. Help us, we pray, to see what You desire us to from Your Word. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen. I want you to see this morning from this text that I believe we should advance with the gospel in spite of circumstances. We would expect the circumstances experienced and endured by Paul would restrict the advancement of the gospel. We would look at Paul's life and ministry as the apostle to the Gentiles. We refer to him often as a missionary. We call his 3 journeys around the known world as his missionary journeys or missionary trips. Paul was used of God to preach the gospel and to plant New Testament local churches throughout many regions and cities of the known world of his day. And yet, here he was, having been incarcerated for at least 2 years, and longer than that, certainly, by the time he's writing this letter to the Philippian believers. He has been arrested, he has been interrogated and put on trial, he's been in a dungeon, and now he is sitting in Rome, he is sitting in his home under house arrest, not able to travel, not able to proclaim Jesus' name to the far beyond regions, not able to plant local New Testament churches in new cities and places. He is bound in Rome. And yet he testified that the circumstances he experienced and endured released the gospel to advance. Paul viewed his circumstances not as problems that had to be overcome, but as platforms to declare the gospel in unreached places to unreached people. That phrase in verse number 12, the furtherance of the gospel, identifies a pioneering ministry. The word was used in that day to describe a group that would go before an army to blaze a trail. Picture, if you would, an army that is marching on an enemy that is coming in to conquer one of their enemies, and perhaps they're trying to come by a route that the enemy does not expect, and they're cutting through a dense forest, or they're cutting through a thick jungle. The word that Paul uses here would be used of those who would go out in front of the army with whatever tools were necessary to cut down the dense overgrown brush, to blaze a trail so that the army could march through unimpeded. That's the word that Paul uses here. It's reaching new territory by a new way. And Paul said of his imprisonment that it was an avenue to reach unreached places and unreached people. How could that be true? Well, in verse number 13, he says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." You might mark down that this word palace actually references specifically and technically the Praetorian Guard, that specialized commando unit that at its peak numbered into the range of 10,000 soldiers who were the emperor's secret service. They were his own personal and private military force used for his protection and to defend the emperor and the city of Rome from any invasion or from any difficulty that they would face as a prisoner of Caesar. Paul was under the watch and the guard of these Praetorian soldiers in shifts every single day. Paul had a captive audience. As these men would be chained to him as he sat in his house, writing letters to churches, encouraging the brethren, perhaps I can imagine the Apostle Paul, can't you? Even as he's penning the letter to Philippi, perhaps saying out loud some of the things he's writing, specifically the things of Christ, so that those Praetorian guards can hear. It says, and in all other places, Paul had the opportunity from that place under house arrest in Rome to reach into the lives of people and to reach into places that he would have not reached otherwise, so that in some of his writings, he evidences even members of Caesar's own household who become Christ's followers. God had taken the Apostle Paul. And by the way, if you read in the book of Acts, Paul speaks about how he had a desire at some point in his ministry to go to Rome, to preach Christ there in Rome, to go from there into Spain and beyond there to Gaul. Certainly when Paul had that desire, He didn't realize at that moment how God would accomplish that work. Paul perhaps thought he'd go under the support of the churches as he had done at other times and preach Christ in the synagogues and then to the Gentiles, but God had other plans for the Apostle Paul. But Paul did not see these circumstances as things that hindered the work of God. Rather, Paul viewed them as God advancing to unreached people in unreached places. Are there circumstances today that you have viewed as hindrances to advancing with the gospel? You know, I thought as I was preparing the message, just some of the correlations. Paul was under house arrest. I don't think we'd say that we were under house arrest for any length of time, but we were encouraged to stay home as much as possible. We've been encouraged and in some places even commanded, instructed to maintain our distance from others, to stay home as much as possible, to keep from having contact that is unnecessary. And I have to confess that personally, there have been times that I've viewed 2020 and I've felt like, in a sense, it was like Paul's experience, a bad experience, one bad experience after another. But there have been times that I have felt that these were not opportunities, but rather hindrances to doing the work of God and advancing with the gospel. I have been guilty of it. And God's been dealing with my heart about it. I do not want to be guilty as a person, nor do I want to be guilty as a pastor of failing to advance with the gospel because of less than ideal circumstances. Friends, I've got to say that if we await for the ideal circumstances to advance with the gospel, we'll probably not find the ideal circumstances. What circumstances are you allowing to hold you back when you should be advancing with the gospel? If we view the circumstances of 2020 or any circumstances that we face at any time as hindrances to advancing with the gospel, friends, we are essentially admitting defeat. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul had responded that way? Years previous, he had a desire to go to Rome to preach Christ there, to continue from Rome into Spain and then on to Gaul to preach Jesus Christ. Can you imagine when he was arrested in Jerusalem, put on trial and interrogated by various rulers over the course of 2 years, had appealed to Caesar, been taken by ship, shipwrecked, there on the island of Malta for 3 months before finally continuing to Rome, settling into his own rented house under house arrest in Rome. If Paul had looked at all of those circumstances and thought or said or acted as if these things are all hindering me from doing God's work, from proclaiming Christ, what would Paul have been doing? Essentially admitting defeat. Christ would not have been proclaimed before the rulers. Christ would not have been proclaimed to the Praetorian Guard. Christ would not have been proclaimed throughout the palace. And those people all along the way that heard the message of the gospel and were given an opportunity to make a decision in relation to Christ would have never had that opportunity. Friends, truthfully, it is not our circumstances, but our choices that we make in our circumstances that determine if we will be hindered or advanced. it's not the circumstances themselves, but the choices we make in response to our circumstances that will determine if we are bound or if we will advance with the gospel. I'm not interested in admitting defeat. Are you? I'm not interested in saying that there's too much against me, too much against us. I'm not interested in admitting defeat while circumstances may present difficulties that we did not and could not foresee. God knew all about them. And we can advance with the gospel in spite of our circumstances. Number two, we need to advance with the gospel in spite of challenges. Look at verse number 14 again. Paul says here, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul made an encouraging observation about how his experience affected others, just as we would think it humanly impossible that Paul's circumstances would allow the gospel to be advanced. We would think it crazy that others would look at Paul and see him in prison bound for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and actually be encouraged to go out there and do it themselves. We would think if they see Paul in prison, they'll be afraid, they'll be scared, and they'll be more quiet. But Paul said, no, many. The idea of that is the majority, most of. Now, true, not all. Not all the believers in Jesus Christ became more bold to preach the word. But many did. Many of those who knew of Paul's situation responded with growing trust in Christ and increasing boldness to share the gospel themselves without fear, Paul says. And that phrase is where I identify a challenge. Sure, there are circumstances that we face in our lives, experiences and just things of this life that we may look at as a hindrance to advancing with the gospel. But there are also challenges that we face even within ourselves, our own nature as people, that we could view as hindrances to the gospel. Do you realize how people viewed Christians in Paul's day? These believers of the New Testament, many of them so bold in sharing their faith with others, so that the Bible records that they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. But they were not readily and easily accepted. In fact, they were viewed very negatively. The boldness required to preach Christ in Paul's day perhaps is well illustrated by a graffiti that was discovered in 1857 among the ruins of Palestine. That graffiti depicts a scene of the cross and a young person kneeling at the cross, looking at Jesus in worship and adoration. But as you look at that graffiti, the caricature of Christ on the cross shows the body of a man with the head of a donkey. It was considered foolish. That's why in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes about how the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You were looked upon as foolish, as crazy, as a nut to believe in this God who gave his life on a cross. They the early believers faced circumstances of persecution and difficulty, and perhaps those circumstances, as well as just their nature as people, brought challenges into their life that could become hindrances to the gospel. Perhaps, like them, we can be challenged by fear, among many other challenges that we need to overcome in order to advance with the gospel. What do you identify as a challenge that you face? Perhaps it's a fear. Maybe a regret. Perhaps it's a struggle of priorities or an inability to interact well with others. I think of the Old Testament and God appearing to Moses from the burning bush and calling him to that work of going to Egypt and proclaiming God before Pharaoh and leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And what did Moses do? He brought up excuse after excuse after excuse. All of those things he viewed as challenges that hindered him from doing what God wanted him to do. The same can happen in our lives. We understand and we know that God wants us to take His gospel into the world, to advance with His gospel. We look at our circumstances and we see hindrances. We look inside ourselves and we see challenges that would hinder us from doing that work. For each of us, the challenges may be different, yet for each of us, the challenge is to advance with the gospel in spite of the challenges. Friends, we need to advance with the gospel in spite of circumstances. We need to advance with the gospel in spite of the challenges. And then thirdly, we need to advance with the gospel in spite of critics. In spite of critics. In verses 15 through 18, in this portion of the text, Paul identified two different groups of people. Now, as we read verses 15 through 18, we understand that Paul is talking about not believers and unbelievers here. He's talking about two groups of believers. All of the people as a whole he's talking about are believers, but there's two groups of them. There were those who were jealous of his ministry. He speaks of those in verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. Verse 16, the one, that group, preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds. We understand this group to be a group of people who were envious and jealous of Paul's ministry, of his authority, of his power, of his effectiveness for the cause of Christ. Perhaps they were critical even of the way that Paul carried out his ministry. Perhaps they were critical of some of the things that Paul preached and taught. Yet they themselves were Christ's believers. And Paul says that this group, who were jealous of him and his ministry, they shared Christ with others with a twisted motive of adding to Paul's grief. They thought that as Paul sat in house arrest, in bonds, that he would see them in their freedom to go and do the work that once he had done. And in this twisted thinking of their mind, they thought, as Paul's sitting there in prison, we're going to make him jealous of us. We're going to add to his grief as he sees us who have been contentious with him in the past, contentious of him in his ministry. And he's going to be more grieved in his confinement as he looks at us. There was that group, but then Paul said there was another group who loved him, who appreciated him, and they too preached Christ, but they did so sincerely without any ulterior motives. Now, as you look at verses 15 through 18, how did this affect the apostle? Did it discourage Paul from advancing with the gospel? Did he look at the critics and say, oh my, they have their freedom still. They're preaching Christ without bonds. And they've been critical of me and my ministry. I'm just going to give up. Did Paul grow discouraged or give up because of these critics? Did he respond by acting as they did? As you read these verses, does Paul condemn the critical group and praise the uncritical group? Does Paul contemn those who had been contentious with him while praising those who had loved him and appreciated him in his ministry? No. Notice what Paul describes in verses 15 through 18. What he describes there is that regardless of who it was or how it was happening, Paul rejoiced that Christ was being preached. He rejoiced. Hey, there's a group out there that they're critical of me. They're critical of my ministry. They're critical of the way I handle myself. They're critical of the way that I go about my ministry. And then there's another group who love and appreciate me and are for me. But I don't care if it's that critical group or that uncritical group. I don't care if it's the ones who have been contentious with me in the past and the ones who have always showed love and appreciation. I don't care if their motive is to make me more grievous while I'm in prison, just as their motive is love and sincerity and a pure heart. It matters not to me. I will rejoice that Christ is being preached. Have you come to the realization yet that there will always be critics? Is there anyone who hasn't figured that out yet? There are always going to be critics. And by the way, there will always be critics from within and without the body of Christ. Paul wasn't talking about a group of unbelievers and a group of believers. He was talking about two groups, both who were from within the body of Christ. We need to remember there's not supposed to be any division in the body of Christ, is there? There's not supposed to be schism in the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is not desirous that his body be divided. And yet, there are times that the criticism we face comes from without, but also from within the body of Christ. There are times that the criticism, the critic, comes from within the local body. We are critical of one another. Not just the church down the road or that believer who attends that body or doesn't go to church. There are times that we are critical of one another right here within a local body of believers. Should criticism from within the body of Christ or criticism from without the body of Christ hinder me from advancing with the gospel? Should I hold back because someone is critical of me proclaiming Christ, the way I'm proclaiming Christ, how I'm proclaiming Christ? Should I hold back from doing what God wants me to do because somebody might say something untoward? Someone might say something critical of me or of the proclaiming of the gospel? No. I should not be hindered by criticism or even the fear of criticism. But friends, what I learned from the Apostle Paul here is that nor should I be affected by the critic in my response to Christ being preached. I should advance with the gospel in spite of criticism that comes my way. And also, I should rejoice that Christ is preached rather than criticizing another who is preaching him. Wiersbe wrote of these verses, these thoughts, when you have the single mind, speaking of Christ being preached, you look upon your circumstances as God-given opportunities for the furtherance of the gospel, and you rejoice at what God is going to do instead of complaining about what God did not do. How often I live in the second place. Are you ever there? Rather than rejoicing in what God will do, complaining about what God did not do that you think he should have done. It is so like me to look around and live focused on what God did not do and that I think he should have done, rather than live focused on what I believe God is going to do as I advance with the gospel in spite of circumstances, in spite of challenges, and in spite of the critics. And just transparently, I can look around at what is going on around me and what I am not seeing in ministry and grow discouraged. Can you? But I am choosing to advance with the gospel, rejoicing in what God will do. Will you join me? I had rather be a part of a local body of Christ numbering 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 who are living with an excited expectation of what God is going to do, rather than with a larger group or a group of the same size who spend their lives complaining about what God didn't do. The point is that we are never going to advance with the gospel if we spend all our energy complaining about what God did not do. Looking at our circumstances, our challenges, and our critics as hindrances, rather than taking the view of the apostle who said, in spite of the circumstances, the challenges, and the critics, the gospel of Jesus Christ was advanced, and I am advancing with it. Will you join me in taking that view, to advance with the gospel in spite of the circumstances, the challenges, and the critics? In view of how God has been working in my heart, there are some things, some initiatives as a ministry that we're preparing to advance with the gospel. Figured if I titled the message Advancing with the Gospel, we'd just call them Gospel Advance Initiatives. Several things that we are already in the process of working on as we identify and implement ways to advance with the gospel in spite of our circumstances, challenges, and critics. Are producing a gospel video that we can include on our church website that can be shared on social media and through evangelistic materials. Providing additional gospel videos, whether self-produced or otherwise, as tools and resources for us as we're sitting in the pew to share with others. We're planning prayer evangelism campaigns into various neighborhoods within our community where we will, in essence, take the idea of door-to-door, but change it so that we go from house to house praying for God's leading in work to be accomplished on whoever lives within that house, leaving a door hanger on their door that we have prayed for them, and inviting them to reach out to us with specific prayer needs, or so that we can come and pray with them personally. We're planning Bible distributions at various spots in our community. We're already planning for and going to be promoting a drive-in theater series of events early in 2021 featuring a series on the life of Christ. We're providing for upgrades to our web streaming abilities so that services can go on and that the gospel can get out unhindered. These are just numerous initiatives that we have prayed over, that I've discussed with some others in our ministry, ways that we've identified and are committed to implementing to advance the gospel in spite of our current circumstances, challenges, and critics. Why do I share them with you this morning? For three reasons. Number one, I want you to get involved. I want you to pray with us that God will use these to help us advance with the gospel. I want you to participate with us. Advance with the gospel as an individual, as a family. Secondly, I want you to give input. We do not operate here on the basis that one person or two people are in some special class and God gives them all the vision and all the ideas and doesn't do it to anybody else or for anybody else. I'm desirous that you give input. Now remember, when we give input, let's do it constructively with humility, not critically with arrogance, but I invite you to give input. But then thirdly, I want you to go individually. It's my desire that we would all identify and implement ways to advance with the gospel personally. How can you as a family? How can you as an individual in your neighborhood, in your community? The truth is that some of you live in neighborhoods and communities, whether it's because of distance or whatever, that likely we're not going to get to as a corporate body during a corporate event. But you are the church. You are a minister of Christ. Go individually. When we have those prayer door hangers, you can do your own event in your own neighborhood if you desire to. You can share videos and resources that will point you and direct you to. You can take evangelistic materials and use them in your own community, your own neighborhood. My wife has been listening to a book written by a pastor's wife entitled You're the Girl for the Job. She's been listening to it the other day. I don't know if she knew I was really being attentive to it at all or not, but I was listening just in the last few days, even as I was preparing for this message. And the pastor's wife who wrote the book shared a story of how just in their lives, her husband is a pastor, of course, and they planted a church. And she was sharing on one occasion how she was just feeling the need to get out and share the gospel. And she wrote her husband a note, something to this effect. Can we get together and discuss how we can go out and be the hands and the feet of Christ to fulfill the Great Commission in our neighborhood this week? Just personally, they weren't planning a church event. Just personally, how can we go out and do it this week? I believe that as a man, I believe that we as a church need to determine to advance with the gospel. And it's my desire as your pastor to help us identify and implement ways that we can do that, regardless of the circumstances, the challenges, and the critics we may face. Will you join me? We must not let circumstances, challenges, and critics confine us so that we are not advancing with the gospel. Have you ever been there? Are you there now? Have circumstances, challenges, and critics held you back from advancing with the gospel? Today, I know there are some who need to join me at the altar to confess to the Lord and commit to the Lord that we will advance with the gospel. I know there are some who God has touched to need to join me at the altar to commit to participating in advancing with the gospel. If that's you, friend, I want to invite you to do just that. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, my wife is coming to the piano. And in just a moment, I want to encourage you to respond. If God is leading and working in your heart to make a commitment to advance with the gospel in spite of the circumstances, the challenges, the critics, I want to encourage you to respond today. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? No one looking around, the pianist is playing. If God is working in your heart, why don't you come to this altar? Why don't you bow there in your seat? For just these few moments this morning, as you reflect on the preaching of God's word, why don't you respond in obedience to Christ, choosing to advance with the gospel, to go forward with God, in spite of all that we may think hinders us, instead trusting and rejoicing in what God will do as we advance. Would you join me?